something that I've noticed of late. Every time I get a chance to preach, my wife isn't here. I think she looks at the duty schedule up there, and then when she sees I'm preaching, she plans a trip. But anyway, tonight we're going to be in the 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 1 through 11. Now, we've all probably committed a good portion of this passage to memory. But I think it's good to go over and over and over. Right, Larry?
Yes, sir.
Because each time I read this passage, I learn something else. But this particular passage fits right in with our annual theme and the theme of our Wednesday night class about how to love and live God's way. Excuse me. Now, this sermon could be 3 hours long if I defined all the important words. Some of them we're just going to have to take at face value. I will define a couple of words, particularly the word kingdom, because there are two different Greek words used for the word kingdom. And some things, some wording changes, the translators sort of put in different words that weren't in the original Greek. So I'm going to read the passage first, just as my New American Standard Bible reads. And then as we go pretty much verse by verse, I'm going to put in the actual Greek words. And it, to me, it changes the meaning of something, or at least the emphasis of something. So what we're going to do, and I brought notes, mostly definitions, but don't worry, I can't read my writing, so I couldn't use them anyway. So let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus, and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in moral excellence knowledge, and in knowledge self-control, and in self-control perseverance, and in perseverance godliness, and in godliness brotherly kindness, and in brotherly kindness love. For if these are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. What better situation could we have for ourselves that if we practice the items of living and loving God's way, we'll never stumble. And the entrance into the eternal kingdom is assured. So that's easy. So everybody just will cut off the sermon now and just everybody go do that stuff. It doesn't work that way. This is a progression where you constantly improve on these characteristics, on these principles. But if we do that and we work to the best of our ability to accomplish things God's way, He's going to take care of us eternally. All right, back up to verse 1. And the words I'm going to change there are kind and by. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same value as ours. When you remove the word kind and replace it with the actual Greek word value, doesn't it mean something different about faith? It's of high value. It's of high value. I'll read again. And to those who have received a faith of the same value as ours in the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The righteousness of our God and Jesus Christ is demonstrated in every way from God. And it demonstrates God's way. And He wants us to do things His way because He's the authority. And He's given us a lot of choices. But He didn't give us a choice on how to serve Him. That's His choice. And we need to comply. Why? Because we put Him first and we love Him unconditionally. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I think everybody knows what the word grace means. Undeserved favor. That's what God gave us. We're saved by His grace. Peace is an interesting word, if I can read my writing. There it means rest. Or the absence of strife. Wouldn't that be a good thing? To have the absence of strife? Even though tonight we're going to be wrangling over words. But peace, God provides that through His grace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That word there, knowledge, is epigenosis. And it means a clear and exact knowledge that somebody has put in their heart that causes them to act. In this case, in the true knowledge of God. Once we get to that point in our spiritual maturity, we really have no choice but to act God's way, to love it and live it. Down in verse 5, the word there, knowledge, is gnosis, and it's different than epigenosis. We'll get there in a minute. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power, we know what that is. God has all power. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and virtue, excellence. He has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Isn't that a good thing? All right, the term life here does not mean our physical life. It means our spiritual life. and the spiritual life is actually the highest blessedness of we his creatures. Where did I get to? Oh, it was in verse 3. Has granted to us, that word granted is kind of interesting too. It means from him to us. He said, here, take this. Granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, not by. See how that changes the meaning? This is going to be a short sermon. Where's the applause? The true knowledge of him who called us to his glory. We're approaching the glory of God and his excellence. For by these, the things mentioned before, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Boy, there are a lot of them, aren't there? But the word promises means... now I forgot what it means. Assurances. We can be assured because God said it. Okay, why did he grant us his precious and magnificent promises? In order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Okay, that word there, partakers, means a partner, a sharing. What does it tell us then? We can be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust. The term world, and I had to try to really shorten these definitions to a phrase or so. The term world there means the sum total of all human beings on earth. Boy, that means that human beings must be pretty much corrupted. And the definition of lust, and I just learned this at this study, is a whole lot worse than the definition we usually use for lust. Listen to this. Lust means the diseased condition of the soul. That's what's in the world. But if we do God's way, if we do God's will, he'll remove all that corruption and lust because of our actions, because of our choices, through his guidance. Now, for this very reason, I think that's referring back to being partakers of the divine nature and having escaped the corruption of the world by lust. For this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in moral excellence, knowledge. The term all diligence there, does that mean we can do it on Sunday morning? Or we can say, oh, I'm off the golf course. I'll be diligent about
7 days a week.
24 hours a day.
24 hours, that's
So what's God expecting of us? To the best of our own personal ability, we do everything we can. Never lose sight of what God wants us to do. So applying all diligence in your faith, and that word there is pistos, means a belief and trust in God. Supply moral excellence. And you can replace the word virtue for excellence if you want there, but it's talking about moral excellence. And that doesn't just mean about sexuality. Lying to someone is amoral. Treating someone bad is not moral. So it can refer to everything. So we're going to build, in all diligence, we're going to build on our faith to moral excellence, to knowledge. Now this word knowledge, like I mentioned, is gnosis. And gnosis is present or current knowledge. Knowledge that you may have gained by some experience. Or maybe you were interested in reading a Bible for a while. It's basically fragmented or incomplete knowledge. But he wants us to continually build on that so we can get to the true knowledge of God, epignosis. Boy, everybody's getting pretty hot in here. Really, I'll be done in about an hour and a half. And in knowledge, self-control. Some of you may remember about 50 decades ago that I didn't have a lot of self-control, particularly in my emotions. You know, if I got ticked off, everybody knew it. But that's not just what this is talking about. We have to control ourselves in everything. Certainly our emotions of anger, but even our emotions of sadness. You can be sad, but don't let it get out of control. Another thing we have to control is our other emotions. A lot of times in our Christian life, we're involved in things that are very, very emotional. Okay, but I think when you control your emotions, you can make decisions not based on emotion, but based on objectivity. Now, sometimes you make that choice or you make that decision that may not be very pleasant, but you need to sort of put that emotion down in your hind pocket and let your brain take over. So self-control can apply to anything, any aspect of our life. And in self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, I think, is like somebody standing tall and strong. Nothing's going to move you. Nothing's going to bother you to the point that you're going to turn your back against God, back to God. You're going to endure. Even some of the horrible things that happen to us in this life, we have to endure for God's sake. Now that doesn't mean that the situation, as unpleasant as it is, it just totally goes out of our mind. We just sort of put that down a little bit and look toward God for strength to endure any situation that we come in contact with. Another word for perseverance in some scripture is endurance. We'll make it through. It may not be easy, but we'll make it through with God's help. And in perseverance, godliness. That word there means piety towards God, honor towards God, reverence towards God. And in godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, we just sang a song. I was trying to remember which one it was, but I think it was in the third verse. It was talking about brotherly love. that holds us together, that molds us together. The word here, brotherly kindness, is actually the Greek word Philadelphia, and it means brotherly love that we have toward one another as Christians. And remember, our theme is a part of our Wednesday night class is that it's not about me. It's about God and others. If I do that, me will get taken care of. And in brotherly kindness, love, and that word there is agape, the type of love that doesn't come naturally to us. We have to learn it, we have to experience it, we have to develop it. But it's that sacrificial, unconditional love. If we do that to one another, we'll help one another be pleasing to God. Now he starts concluding here. Even though the therefore is in verse 12, I may read verse 12 just for Larry. But it says, for if these qualities, and qualities is italicized, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, what does that mean? What do we have to do if we're going to increase something? We're going to have to work at it, aren't we? 24/7. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. The term useless there actually means idle or inactive. God wants us to not be idle, and he wants us to be active in doing, in developing these characters. Characteristics. So they render you neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there that word knowledge is the epignosis, which means an exact and clear knowledge that compels us to act properly toward God. We've developed that knowledge, and now there's nothing holding us back. Now, since you heard this lesson tonight, does that mean you're going to have the true knowledge tomorrow? Maybe not. But maybe. We spend our life trying to get to the point of the true knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what happens if we have these qualities and are increasing them. What about verse 9? For he who lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Which state do we want to be in? We want to keep increasing these qualities. So we come to the true knowledge of God. But people that turn their backs on these things are blind and short-sighted. And they've forgotten that Christ died to purify us and pay for our sins. So our sins and the guilt thereof are removed from us. What a great blessing. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain, sure, make sure about his calling. And the word calling there means an invitation. About his invitation and choosing. He chose us to do what's right. Problem was, he gave us the power of choice so we can choose to do not what's right. I'm trying to hurry through this. There are about 6,000 fans out there now. Now listen to this. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. stumble to the point of losing your soul. We'll make mistakes. We'll commit some sin. But the power of Christ's blood was so much that even if we do mess up occasionally and ask God to forgive us and make a plan to repent, change our direction, Christ's blood covered those sins. Another great promise. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Now it says the word eternal there, but none of us can really grab the concept of eternity. But it's a long, 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 long time. We put the time dimension there. Eternity doesn't even have the dimension of time in it. And the word kingdom there, I believe, refers to the eternal kingdom. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Here you go, Larry. Verse 12. I shall always be ready to remind you of these things. You know, this particular passage is something that should consider quite frequently in our Christian lives, because it gives us so much to be thankful for. It gives us a direction. And most of all, it gives us how to love and live God's way. I think we've talked enough about Christ and the purification of sins, but if you haven't yet been purified, you need to do that so that the eternal kingdom can be abundantly supplied to you too. And if sometimes we've forgotten about developing these characteristics on a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week basis, maybe we need some strength in the prayers of the brethren. Whatever your situation, let your wishes be known as we stand and sing.